You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Freedom of sport, freedom of thought. It's the slogan of East London footwear label Stepney Workers Club, launched earlier this year, inspired by the ethos and inclusive culture of worker sports clubs of years past. Bringing together a wealth of experience in designing footwear for luxury brands and working in wholesale and brand management, the label was created by three friends who set out to create a new classic shoe and wardrobe staple, vintage-inspired canvas and suede sneakers to be worn all the time. By focusing on select retailers and showrooms, the label, along with its simple handshake logo, has quickly been making a name for itself. Here's Roger Pereira, who handles design, followed by Simon C., who heads brand, and Simon Bishop, who handles business and finance.
What drove us to really sort of start with shoes was, I think there's a bit of, I think working with Simon, there's a bit of purist and perfectionist in us, and I think getting our heads together was about making this shoe that we didn't feel existed and was a bit of a nod to a bit more of a purist background of how you used to make vulcanized shoes back in the day. And I think that's what our passion was, that's what our inspiration and starting point was, and I think that's what inspires us about footwear, I think, is that purist element in us, I think. I think it's being maybe a bit saturated with constant sneaker drops and being hit with constant product every week. It's almost become a bit like the music industry, where there's a new record released every week and sneaker drops, people are, you know, waiting to hear about the latest drops on these big sportswear brands. We just felt a little bit like we were losing our finger on the pulse on that, and a bit intentionally we just didn't really want to keep up with that, and we felt that what we wanted to wear, what we wanted to create, wasn't really out there. So I think that was really the starting point and inspiration for that, and I think that's where we sit down, we get together and start, I don't even know what the starting point was. It was over WhatsApp, wasn't it? I think we found an old vintage shoe which really sparked something in us, and we started a conversation about how this footwear used to be made. You know, these brands don't make this footwear in this way anymore. They don't produce it in the same country, they produce it elsewhere, they produce it in different ways. We felt something had got lost along the way, and we were just basically trying to recapture that if we could, if it was possible. I think that was a bit of a, I don't know, a bit of a goal or a bit of a game to play, wasn't it? Whether we could recreate this thing and make something that we felt was, again, pure and perfect in our kind of vision and what we'd want to wear and what our friends would want to wear. We put a lot of work into, like we say, building the product in a bit of a bygone way, so how shoes used to be made. So a lot of these vulcanized companies shied away from these manufacturing techniques and made things a bit more commercial and mass-produced and a bit cheaper, I think. So we've stayed true to those original manufacturing methods, which we feel makes the product so much more premium, longer-lasting. There's definitely a comfort element to it as well, which really helps. In terms of materials as well, we don't really compromise. When we're looking at canvases, we don't go for canvases which are, you know, mixed with polyesters and other synthetics. We just go for like nice 100% cotton drill fabrics. Our goal was always, we want to make a shoe silhouette, we want to put it on a lad's feet in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and it just fits in, whether it's, I don't know, a greaser, a skater, an indie kid, it's just going to work. So I think that was the big tick on our checklist when we were designing it and coming up with the brand and the product. There wasn't a specific customer in mind, there was basically like about 70 years worth of subcultures and customers that we were trying to get, you know, a one shoe fits all kind of approach to.
I really enjoy explaining the shoe to someone, you know, even though it's simplistic, there are so many little considered details and construction methods which I really, really enjoyed. And I think that enthusiasm came across when you're chatting to, say, a buyer from a great store. And creating longevity in a very fickle market is harder than ever, you know. But that is the goal for the brand, to create a new classic. And so far, you know, we feel we've achieved that. And the feedback from our customers, from the stores, has been just nothing but positive. I mean, you know, just one or two comments, you know, from day to day, it cements what we do. Stepney Workers Club was originally called a Stepney Workers Sports Club, born in the sort of, you know, 1920s. And it was originally obviously born out of Stepney, an anti-fascist, anti-war sports group. They had a tagline of freedom of sport, freedom of thought. And that's where the name came from. It just rang true with us, I think, you know, and we feel that that sort of message, dare I say, you know, is very relevant nowadays. I think that people are starting to maybe think for themselves a little bit more, you know, have a bit more of an opinion. I don't want to get too preachy here, but sort of, you know, it's an important message for the brand. What we've also admired, what we've seen over, especially over the past sort of year or so, is that, you know, it's kind of the rise of the kind of bedroom brand. You know, there's so many that have come through on the background and are kind of giving a lot of luxury groups a bit of a headache, you know. You know, we've always kind of admired that aesthetic anyway. Being, again, creatives ourselves, we knew that sort of, again, along with other sort of daily tasks, you know, it's important that we go out and create the right content so we can continually push the right message. And, you know, so it's, I know that's been quite key to sort of, you know, a lot of people look at an Instagram page now, you know, and can make a decision on the brand just based on that. And we've had a lot of people admire what we do, you know, because we both shoot a lot of content ourselves, not just again off the footwear, but we like to document our surroundings. You know, that's part of getting across our message as a brand. And we want people to become more emotionally attached to the, you know, to the brand. And we feel that's happening. Yeah, I guess people have been so complimentary of it, you know. So that's something we just need to build on and build on and build on, you know. We want to continually shoot content and products and people and stories and collaborate, you know. Some of those may be small, you know, and some of them are bigger than others, but, you know, we've got some good stuff in the pipeline, and we believe that's a bigger marketing tool than maybe some of the kind of usual sort of methods of advertising your brand. We come from working class backgrounds, you know, we both grew up in the, you know, in the golden era of the 90s, dare I say, you know, both shooting film back then and all the rest of it. I love the way that people are sort of shooting film again. I've constantly sort of said how we keep reverting back to old ways, whether it be a piece of vinyl, whether it be shooting film, you know, and I think those things come through as authentic. And, you know, there's something good about just kind of going out and creating that content. We've always been super keen on documenting our surroundings anyway, of kind of like what London kind of used to be. You know, London is changing dramatically, as we know, but we like to try and document the old, you know, a little bit more, the authentic side, which then sits in line with the brand. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel that sort of we don't have a polished feel about the brand. We want to feel like what we put across is real, and it has a genuine voice which people can, you know, relate to.
These guys had an idea, and I think my skill set comes into it, that when they've got this idea, I kind of assisted to help them put it into practice and understand that, you know, you don't need a huge amount of money behind you to start pushing something like this. You can start it on a small scale. You can really make sure that you're fairly budget neutral from the start, and you can do things organically. It just takes a lot of hard work, a lot of favors called in, a lot of people we know. And I mean, these guys working in the footwear industry for a while know a lot of people that they could rely on to advise them, help them push the brand. And, you know, they're experienced themselves. They know how to do this. You know, the direct-to-consumer was key for us. We got our website up and running as soon as we could so that we could sell direct-to-consumer. But I think there's a trust element with any new product where if you can get it in to retailers that you've spoken to that have fallen in love with the product, it's almost a second kind of validation on the product for when they get walk into the retailers that we've got. You know, it's a product worth having a look at. And I think that's, you know, from the two marketing channels really have been our social media channel. And by getting it into these retailers, speaking to them, getting them to take a chance on the product, because, you know, when you get it in front of people, that's when you can start getting them to follow the brand and get part of the Stepney Workers Club kind of ethos. if you had unlimited budget, sure, there's things that we would love to do. But the reality is we're a brand new brand and we don't have that budget. So we do have Simon and Roger going out shooting our content for our Instagram. We find ourselves kind of haggling over whether we can spend £250 on this one thing, which, you know, it's a strange world to be in when budgets, but at the same time, for us to be sustainable and without any massive investment behind us, you've got to be like that, and you've got to grow organically, and it kind of pays for itself in the long run. You know, we could, you know, if we had unlimited budget, we could throw it at your digital marketing. You know, everything costs money, and if you've got that kind of upfront cost, you know, you need the backing, and you need to be looking for the sales down the line. But at the moment, we're growing in a really, really nice manner where we're paying for ourselves as we're going, and we're still seeing the growth that we need. We've had quite a bit of success internationally as well. And it's a case of, you know, Simon is meeting, speaking to retailers every day and growing that, whether that's, you know, new customers that we're opening up with in the US that have seen us and are excited about developing that, or Japan, Thailand, Hong Kong. You know, we've got some great retailers coming on board, and that will continue within spring, summer. So from a business perspective, it's very easy for me to try and push big numbers onto these guys to say they have to hit those, but we have to stay in line with what the business is about and keeping the product clean and making sure that we're growing organically and sustainably, rather than just trying to shift as many pairs as you can and then blowing out very, very quickly. You know, if you're going to grow a brand, you need to focus on the brand, not on just the sales. And I think we can. The strategy is working, and we're continuing to grow it, and it's growing very healthily at the moment. I'm happy with the growth that Simon and Roger are pushing through the business.
Thank you very much to Roger Pereira, Simon C, and Simon Bishop for sharing the story of Stepney Workers Club. The show was edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.